Welcome to another episode of your new favorite podcast. I'm Jay LaVon.
It's the one and only Jasmine J.
It's your girl Jada Kalise.
And this is
Remix and Rewind,
where we introduce you to new music, artists, theories, and ways to connect your real life to the music you listen to. So today we're going to dive into a topic that we've covered, not covered, but we've talked about plenty of times within ourselves, but we're going to bring it to you guys. It is unprofessionalism in the music industry. So what we mean by that is how artists and their team at a large can mishandle their careers by not being on tip-top shape when it comes to their craft and when it comes to the business side of everything. So like behavior attitudes that can disrupt relationships, projects, and smooth functioning of their music business. So examples of that could be like a lack of punctuality, poor communication, lack of preparation, failing to honor contracts, not taking responsibility when those things occur, and overpromising, underdelivering, and just overall arrogance and entitlement. It's just so many things that go into being an artist in the music industry aside from making good music.
And that's exactly what it is. It's the entitlement, the fact that, okay, I made it, I don't got to do nothing. That's literally not how it works.
Or thinking that the fans will always eat up whatever you put out. And it's like, if you don't do it in a specific way and in a way that caters to the audience, they're not going to bite.
They're not.
And the music industry is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. Like, people think just because they're here now that they'll be here tomorrow or next year. You may not be here. That's why you have to constantly be getting better. That's why Beyonce and people like her thrive, because they're constantly changing and getting better. If you're not doing that, you're cooked, I fear.
You are.
Yeah, if you're being stale and you're just not moving along, it kind of goes back to our first episode. Like, you become a one-hit wonder that way. Mm-hmm. You have to keep moving. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing with general life. You have to keep moving. You cannot stay stagnant.
You have to be innovative.
And you have to be humble.
Yes. Heavy on humble.
You need to be humble. You need to practice humility. You need to practice deference, because you also need to respect those that came before you.
Thank you.
Right.
There is a pecking order, unfortunately, and you have to know where you fall. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with confidence, and there's never nothing wrong with you knowing what you bring to the table, but you also have to acknowledge everybody else's gifts and what they bring to the table and what they've done for you to allow you to be at the table, because there's people that open a door for you.
And I think I really do hate to bring her up because I don't even really like her right now, but I think that's where Nicki Minaj gets at. It's just the way she goes about it.
I think that some of it gets lost because of how she came into the industry with Little Kim, but I do think there's a point to what she's saying. But like you said, she just does it in a way that I despise. Like, she's so mean girl about it, and she takes it to the umph level, because most of the girls come into the industry giving her her tens.
Giving her praise, praising her, saying she influenced me, like, I always listen to her, she's her, she's carried this and that, and then it just goes downhill from there.
I feel like that's enough.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like that's enough. If I come into the music industry and I'm giving you your flowers, I'm giving you your tens, and I'm acknowledging the fact that you paved the way for me, a lot of these girls want to work with her, I feel like that's enough. I'm not going to be kissing your behind for my entire career.
Exactly.
At some point, I'm going to feel like I earned my seat at the table and I don't have to ask you for permission to speak every time.
Exactly.
And that comes back to the whole entitlement thing, because that really do be ruining careers. If you start in beef with every new female rapper that comes out, you're going to get washed up, because people are like, oh, like, well, she's a mean girl, like you said. So
it looks like jealousy.
It does. It reads insecurity.
Because they're your prime and she's not.
Insecurity. Exactly. And jealousy. And it's crazy because it's like, you're Nicki Minaj.
Literally growing up, like, you could not tell me that Beyonce, Rihanna, and Nicki were not on the same level. You couldn't tell me, but now it's like Beyonce, Rihanna, then Nicki.
Yeah.
And she did that.
She did that to herself. She did.
None of the new girls did it. None of the fans did it. She did that to herself.
And especially because those collabs could have helped. Like, collaborating with those people could have helped you.
When she did collaborate with them, it helped.
When she collaborated with Meg, with Hot Girl Summer, that was cute. When she collaborated with, who else did she collaborate with? Doja Cat, that was cute.
Yeah.
Ice Spice, that was cute.
You know how, Red, like,
do you know how insane it would have been if her and Cardi's beef wasn't as big as it was and they collabed? Aside from Motorsport.
Because Motorsport itself was amazing.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Imagine having Nicki, Cardi, Megan, Lotto, having all of the actual talented female rappers on a song or a couple songs or a project. It would be they would be unstoppable.
Exactly.
And my problem with Nicki specifically is, like, the people that she does choose to collaborate aren't on her level. Like,
at all.
You're doing collaborations with Coi Leray and Bia.
People that you purposely outshine, and you know that.
Because you feel intimidated. intimidated by anyone that you feel like could be better than you.
She don't like the competition.
She don't like the competition.
And that's why the word of the day is unprofessionalism. It's unprofessional.
She's so unprofessional.
Yeah.
She's underhanded. She don't even keep her stuff like on the table. Like, you really wouldn't even know what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she met her match with Lil Miss Ice Spice, it was such a big problem because she was underhanded too. The only difference is Ice Spice ain't got as much talent. But we'll talk about that too, because she's unprofessional in itself. So.
Yes.
But I also feel like people let fans get in like their head. Like, fans are gonna naturally compare two female, especially two black female rappers, they're gonna compare them, like, undoubtedly. But you can't let that get in your head and start being like, oh, well, maybe she is better than me. Like, that's where people be going wrong. People be too internalizing outward things, if that makes sense. External stuff.
And I also feel like it turns into more than just how you move with other artists, but it's how you move within your own artistry. Mm-hmm. Because when you let people bump your head up too much, you get complacent.
Exactly.
You're like, well, I'm the best.
Complacent and comfortable.
I'm the best. I don't have to do nothing else. Yeah. I'm the best and there's nothing better than me, so why would I change?
And also, it's like a mindset where it's like, okay, this worked for me, I'm gonna keep doing it. Baby, that was last year.
Yeah.
We need something new. I don't want to keep hearing the same flow. I don't want to keep hearing the same cadence. I don't want to hear that.
Especially because last year turns into 2 years ago, turns into 5 years
to
ago.
To 15.
Mm-hmm. And now you've been doing the same thing since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not her specifically. Like,
just,
I mean,
anyone.
Yeah. Nicki do be changing it up, but I'm just saying, just anyone. Like, that's when people feel like they don't have to rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to rehearse. I'm so-and-so-and-so. I don't have to rehearse. I hit the mic and I just hit the stage and I just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No boo.
And I don't know why people think that, because it's like, we have Beyonce. Beyonce puts 110% into freaking rehearsals. So if Beyonce still rehearses, what in your right mind thinks that you don't have to?
If Michael Jackson was rehearsing, what? If Whitney Houston was rehearsing.
Exactly.
If The Voice was rehearsing.
What makes you think?
You think your little pipsqueak, you don't need to rehearse.
And that really be the downfall of people's careers, because I remember I seen this musical, y'all. I seen Ain't Too Proud. It was based on Temptations. And like, it was a big story plot about like David Ruffin, like showing up to rehearsal late.
Like,
and like all this stuff, and thinking, oh, because you know that whole thing, like, anybody come to see you, Otis?
Yeah.
David Ruffin thinking I'm the prize here. I'm the one. Like, they come to see me. Like, it don't matter what I do. And then people get too worried about themselves, especially in group settings. Like, especially when you see like these boy groups, like down, like their downfall, it's always because one person starts thinking
it's cocky.
Yeah, they get cocky, and that be the downfall for real, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, I think when I think about groups, I always think about Destiny's Child.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, everybody says like, oh, I'm the Beyonce, I'm Beyonce. But at the end of the day, each one of them were valuable.
Exactly. Yes.
And they never downplayed the other one's value. Kelly and Beyonce, they're going to always talk about how hard Michelle went on holding down the harmonies or holding down the bridges. They're going to always talk about how Kelly opened up all the songs. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had their place, and nobody's place really outshined anybody's within their group. They didn't really care what the rest of the world said, because the rest of the world only saw Beyonce.
Yeah.
But within their collective and within their group and within their system, everybody was just as important as the next.
And it's so funny, because groups are brought together for a reason. Like, when groups are like, when they come
formatted
together, it's because they all have a different sort of, they might have bass and they might have, you know, whatever. So it's like, when they start getting like, oh, this is just me, this is my show, this is, I'm the one bringing, like, it's weird.
And it's crazy, because they all had their own flaws. Like, yeah, Michelle, she, while her pro was, you know, holding down the harmonies, she wasn't the best performer, she wasn't the best dancer.
Yeah.
And it's like, you still have your flaws at the end of the day. You still have to practice where you lack. And that's where I feel like a lot of artists, they lack. They think, just because I'm strong here, I don't really got to worry about this too much. No, you still need to practice what you lack.
I think that you have to sit down and really assess your talent. Assess, okay, vocals, I'm good with vocals. Mm-hmm. What can I work on with my performance? What can I work on with my look? What can I look on with my branding? What can I look on with, you know what I'm saying? And it goes beyond talent. Like, and I think that's where the unprofessionalism really comes in, because people think that talent is all you need. You need to be business minded in this industry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to know that if I announce something, they're going to be looking for it in the next so-and-so months.
I'm glad you took it there. I'm glad you took it there, because this is the perfect time to talk about overpromising and underdelivering. You are announcing new music or teasing a new visual, teasing a new music video, teasing anything, and then you're not coming out with anything. Where are you at? So I definitely want to talk about Summer Walker. Mm. She teased new music, actually a whole new album. How long ago now?
In September, Summer Walker teased her forthcoming third studio album, which we now know will be titled Finally Over It. And she released a title on October 11th.
She teased it September, the title October.
That's 5 months ago.
It's March 12th. And Heart of a Woman came out when?
That song eats.
It does eat. It's a great so song. Bad. Like,
adding that to the playlist if you haven't heard it.
Right. If you haven't, though, that's actually crazy.
Yeah, actually insane, because it's actually everywhere.
Heart of a Woman came out October 25th. Oh, so do you 2024.
See what do you see what I'm talking about?
Oh.
You're over promising and you're not giving us anything.
Well, why do you think that is? Like, do you think they just Like, what's the reason?
I don't know if it's a means of the label saying, okay, you got to announce this and that, mm-hmm. or if they're scared that they're going to back out of the project, maybe.
Right.
Okay, it's out there, so I can't back out of it now because I already announced it. I don't know what it is, but it's very unprofessional, and I don't like it at all. You're hyping your fans up. It's been months, and it's not fair to the fans.
And I also feel like, again, with the thing of constantly evolving, like, people might not even want that no more. Yeah. I don't want it. Yeah. It's been so long, I don't even want it no more.
Yeah, like, and it's like the hype dies down, so when it comes out, you're confused on why the sales aren't doing good, why the streams aren't doing good, because, again, you announced it months ago.
Yeah.
People forgot. And another person who does that, too, is SZA. And we all know SZA is a pathological liar.
We know that
SZA is a liar. So
now
it's
I miss,
like,
I never had a TV.
And posted up with a flat screen.
Yes. So it's like, for SZA, with me, it's like, she's always doing that. She's always lying about what she's doing. So it's like, when she came out and was like, okay, SOS Deluxe, Lana is coming out at this time, we all up bright and early. Early bird gets the worm. No album on Apple Music or Spotify, because usually Spotify will drop first. Apple Music is delayed. So before
Sounds correct. Sound about like Spotify, honestly.
Spotify does everything first. And anyways. Apple Music, you know, comes back up under it and try to snatch
it. Anyways. Exactly. So that's what usually happens. And then we still waiting there. She talking about I'm doing some final touches. How long have you announced this? Like, how long has this announcement been out for? What do you mean final touches? And you're rearranging the order of the album the day it's supposed to come out.
I think that a big problem I have with unprofessionalism in the music industry is announcing, teasing, putting out things before it's done.
Yeah.
I really don't think that an artist should announce anything. You can tease whatever to, you know, drum up controversy or drum up, you know, anticipation, but you should not be announcing that you have a release date for something that is not finished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're not going through final touches, she should not have announced a date until she was, you know, in the process of putting the songs in order. Don't wait until the day it's supposed to come out to put the songs in order. What are we talking about?
But Jared, she also came on and tweeted, I think she said something along the lines of, like, the sound quality wasn't up to par, and fans heard that. She literally was saying that on Twitter. Something about the sound quality wasn't up to par, and she doesn't like it, so she's gonna adjust something. What?
Like, what are we, I don't know, I don't get
like,
it.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I wouldn't have even announced it unless it was done, honestly. Exactly. Not even finishing touching, it was done.
It was done, completely done, and I love it, and I love the body of work that I'm putting out. The fact that you're putting out something that you don't like.
Yeah, and also it makes me think you rushed to do it, low-key.
Exactly.
Like, you procrastinated?
You procrastinated with your body of work? With your line of work?
That lives forever at that.
This is your job.
That's crazy.
Mean? And then another artist, because, you know, I got examples for days, Normani.
That I'm literally, I was already doing my research.
Yeah.
Because I need a date. Because Dopamine was a great body of work.
It was. And because of her lack of promotion and following up with everything, it didn't do well.
That album went double plexiglass. Mm-hmm. I'm so upset. And it was good. Like, why are you going, like, double mint gum on your good album? Like, I'm aggravated. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's so good. She announced it in February, and it did come out in June. So that's not crazy. But that's June of 2024. We're in March of 2025, and we don't have no video. And you've been teasing a video with Gunna since what? July?
For so long. It's going to be a year. And you know that's my song. Like, that's my song.
159 is that.
Adding that to the playlist.
Like, but it's like, I shouldn't be adding a song to the playlist with a music video. Like, I'm aggravated. Like, I don't know. Like, I've been waiting for a Normani drop since Motivation. I was in high school. I was in ninth grade. I remember it.
And it just sucks because you can't even put her in a conversation with Coco Jones or
Victoria Monet.
You can't even put her in there. And she should be in that conversation.
She should be there. She should have been there before they were there.
Exactly.
As much as she popped.
Exactly. Like, her, I think that might have been her debut performance for Motivation at what award
show?
When
she was in, like, the purple, yeah, I think that was MTV
good.
Awards.
And people were amped up for that. And then nothing after.
That's the thing, that this is an example, and she's the main example of being unprofessional, because she has it all. She has the look, she has the performance skills, she even get her voice together.
And has experience. You were in Fifth Harmony.
Experience.
You were in a girl group.
You know how, and that's the thing that aggravates me the most and blows my mind the most, is you know how this is supposed to work, because Fifth Harmony ain't do none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth Harmony said they was gonna release something, they released it.
Yeah.
Fifth Harmony put out an album, they had three videos ready.
I was gonna say their music videos was ready.
Them music videos were ready and they were good. You know how this is supposed to go. So what's up?
And it's like, I give her a little bit of grace because of her situation with her parents. I think her parents are sick or something. One of her parents is sick. I do give her grace in that area. But at the same time, it's like, if this is your career and this is what you want to do, you have to put in the work.
Take it seriously.
Yeah, that. And I also think, I don't know who she's signed to, but I heard her label is like notorious for doing that.
Yeah, her label isn't good. Her sabotaging. Team wasn't good.
Yeah, for sabotaging their artists. And I don't know why they do that.
I don't understand why they do that. Like, I would think you're losing money doing that.
Right.
And I also think back to the parent thing, I'm not like going to say I don't have any sympathy for that. What I'm going to say is, oh my gosh, y'all don't look at me like that. I'm just saying that if that's something that you're taking time for, take time for it. You know, there's a time for, because she has the leeway to do that. It's not like she itching for money.
Yeah.
So take the time to focus on your family. People, you know, take hiatuses from their career to have families, to get married, to whatever it may be. Take a hiatus and then come back full force.
Yes.
Don't try to do both if you can't give your energy to both.
Yes.
Like, that's like trying to work two different jobs and they clash.
Don't give your fans 50% and give your parents 50%. Either give your parents the 100% and give the fans zero, or like, you can't.
You can't. Like, you can't. Especially with a team like that, you can't.
Exactly.
You know, and I just think you have to be so business-minded in this industry, because it's a business. It runs off money. It don't run off talent.
It don't.
That's true. Because I think she also was supposed to be part of the Usher tribute at the BET Awards. She was supposed to be a part of that.
That would have ate,
and
too.
I guess she said she had some type of injury. I don't know. I don't know how true that was.
Speaking of the Usher tribute, my girl, my good girl, Chloe.
Chloe ate that. I was going to say that. Chloe ate.
Listen.
I love her.
The chances of anybody that works with Chloe listening to this is very slim, but listen, I need that cover on Apple Music. I need the Kisser cover on Apple Music, because it was phenomenal. Everything about it, phenomenal.
She said true. She ate that up.
It was so good.
Chloe is another person who I feel like has everything except for the business side together.
Mm-hmm.
And
agreed.
Has everything, because her branding is not it.
It's not it.
And her, I personally feel like the music that she makes isn't it.
Oh.
Like, my favorite Chloe songs are the ones where she digs into her R&B bag.
How does it feel? Okay.
How does it feel? Mm-hmm. Like, Temporarily Single.
Yeah.
I just found out about that song. Single. When she digs into her R&B bag, even Surprise, those are her best songs to me. But I feel like, for whatever reason, wants to be a pop star. And
I think that stems from her and Chloe, not her and Chloe, her and Hallie doing pop. They were kind of poppy.
But their pop was great.
Yeah, their pop was great. I don't think, so you're trying to say, like, you don't think Chloe can do that on her own?
I'm not going to say I don't think she can do it on her own, but I think from a business sense, and you wanting to be a star, you have to go with what the fans like.
Okay.
To a certain extent.
That's fair.
Like, there should be a healthy balance of, I'm an artist and I want to be artistically true to myself, and another side of you that is like, if this is what my fan base, not the general public, but my fan base, like my fans, if this is what my fans like, maybe I should cater more to my fans. Find a healthy medium. And I think she struggles with that. And I think that's why her album didn't really do what it needed to do, on top of promotion. Like, promotion is such a big thing. And you need to be going out. You need to be doing interviews. You need to be everywhere. Like, this isn't necessarily music, but SZA, Kiki, and Issa Rae going on every platform they could find
for one of them
to promote one of them days.
Yeah,
that's how y'all need to be about y'all albums.
Yeah,
because if not, we're not gonna hear about it.
I
sorry
agree. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So my last point is basically, Jasmine had brought up earlier about how this is something that's been going on in the music industry.
Yeah,
she brought up the Temptations. I brought up Destiny's Child, and there's other groups.
I love the Temptations down, though, by the way. Just want to add that. I love them down.
Slander.
There's no slander. I love them.
But I think that it's even more common now, just because of how easy it is to be a quote-unquote artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, back in the day, you had to have talent, and you had to work for it to even get the platform to slack off.
But now it's like, as long as you got a catchy beat, good cadence,
if they like you on
flow,
TikTok, you're an artist.
Yeah.
Right.
If they can make a darn dance to it, if they can make a darn trend, they like it.
If they can put a cute little selfie on it and go viral, then you a star.
you are a star,
baby.
Yes. Yeah.
So the standard isn't as high anymore. Like, the standard isn't high at all. You don't have to have this. Like, I feel like Michael Jackson's, even the Temptations, New Edition, them type of people, they felt they had a standard to uphold.
And they had a passion and a burning desire to be stars, to be artists.
And they was getting out the mud, too. Yeah. Like, these people, this was their way to get out.
New Edition was broke.
You know, right?
New Edition was broke. They were like,
TLC was broke.
Like, broke.
When winning Grammys and broke.
Yes, like New Edition, they was doing their work. They was doing their dirt and ain't had no money.
Right. Even people who had perceived wealth and perceived help, because the person I think about most when I think about that is Janet Jackson. A lot of people don't realize that Janet didn't pop and become Janet Jackson until like her third studio album. Her first two albums went double mint gum. Like, I'm telling y'all, they went double aluminum foil. Nobody was listening to them first two Janet albums to the fact that it's 50 years later and we don't even know she had two first albums before Control. The lady did not pop. A lot of people don't realize that she got it out the mud too, even though Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson. Even though the Jacksons were the Jacksons, even though she had had fame since she was 6 years old, she still had to get it out the mud.
Yeah.
So you think when she got it out the mud, she was gonna let it go? No.
I almost feel like they have to work harder because they're being constantly compared to someone who is literally Michael. Like Michael Jackson.
Like king of pop.
King.
But it's crazy because I actually just seen a tweet last night saying that like whatever album was before Thriller, was that off the wall? But yeah, I just seen, I just seen a tweet saying that he was upset that I guess Off the Wall didn't win any awards, and Rick James was the one to tell him like he needs to be innovative. He has to do something different. And when he got in the studio with Rick James, I probably shouldn't say this, but when he got in the studio with Rick James, he was like trying to get him under the influence, and Michael wasn't for that. Michael was not for that. So he was like, you know, I'm gonna be back, and left the studio, got on a plane, never came back. Then that's when he got in the studio to do Thriller with Quincy. So thank you, Rick James.
Also, Off the Wall 8.
Off the Wall was good. So the fact that it didn't win anything for me is crazy.
Yeah,
like,
Rock With You. What?
Like, that's actually crazy.
Don't stop till you get it up. Like,
another
y'all
example,
was eating that up?
Y'all wasn't, no, literally, y'all was not eating that up. I'm
confused. I'm actually not mad.
I was like 5 years old eating that up. So why was y'all fully grown not eating
working
it up?
Working day and night?
Come on.
Not like, come on now.
They played, actually.
Another person I think about is the queen, Beyonce. When Beyonce went out with Dangerously in Love, her own label didn't believe in her. They told her she had no hits on there.
Oh,
she
wow.
She got five number ones, I think. Like, her own label didn't believe in her. She had to fight to get Dangerously in Love out.
To see what happens when you believe in yourself.
See what happens
though?
When you have the passion to do it.
Right.
I'm trying to think, like, what could she possibly have been thinking in that moment? Like, I put my heart into this, and y'all trying to tell me y'all don't think this is gonna do well?
Mind you, Dangerously in Love was her second option. She wanted to come out with an album that was more funk.
I did see that.
And it went back and was an ode to the 70s because, you know, Tina Turner is her, like, idol in the music industry.
Yeah.
She wanted to do something more aligned with that. And if you ever heard her, I want to call this like a... like an underground breakout song. And it's called Work It Out off the Goldmember Austin Powers soundtrack. That was her first solo song.
Oh, wow.
And that was more in line with what she wanted to do. Like, her first album was supposed to sound more like Work It Out. And then she scrapped that. They realized that wasn't going to pop. That's not what's going to eat it up in 2003. Dangerously in Love was. So she came out with that, and they still didn't like it. She had to fight so hard. And I just wish that artists like or Normani or like a Chloe
fight for their sound.
Fight for their sound and had the passion to go for it with everything they got.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the industry is set up like that to even allow them, but I just wish they would, because I feel like that's when they would really eat. Like, people that are fighting for their sound and fighting for their passion, and they have to be a star.
Because if you don't believe in yourself, who is?
But also, low-key, it's going back to what you said about, like, artists not having the passion no more. Low-key, I feel like that's true, because if you're blowing up on TikTok off a song you made as a joke, why would you have the passion?
Yeah. And that's why they're not professional.
Yeah.
Because all these people that we're naming who have a passion, I feel like passion and professionalism in the music industry go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because these people that really want it and really fight for it, they don't have time. They don't feel like they have the leeway to make these type of mistakes business-wise. Because every move is so critical.
Important, yeah.
And it's so important. And I feel like we're losing that. Like,
it's like they're taking steps without thinking what's next. And Beyonce don't do that.
Yeah. And it's back to what Jasmine says, because they pop so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Microwavable stars.
And they don't really have longevity. I think I've said this before, not on here, but just in general. Like, if you blow up on, first of all, songs, like, people will love an artist today, not like them tomorrow. Music now is very much like disposable. Like, this song was good. I love that song.
Wishy washy.
Yeah. So people don't have the same commitment to their artist. That's why it's harder for people to establish a fan base. Like, Beyonce has a strong fan base because those people, like, they been loved her and they continue to love her throughout the years. The fan base is now, like, I can't think of a specific artist right now, but I feel like a lot of the artists right now, they don't have a strong fan base. Like, even Ice Spice, like, she didn't have no strong fan base.
She didn't. And I'm going back to that, I think think of like, okay, you can love this artist, and if they put out a body of work that you don't like, so like Beyonce, for example, people love Beyonce. They love Beyonce the person, they love Beyonce the performer, they love Beyonce the artist.
Yeah.
But if she puts out something that they don't like, so we'll use Cowboy Carter for reference, they're gonna be like, I still love Beyonce. Cowboy Carter just isn't my cup of tea. Yeah. I still love Beyonce.
Exactly.
A lot of artists don't have that.
Right.
Most artists don't have that.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually, I'd go to say that most artists nowadays
most
don't have
artists
that.
Don't have that. And because most artists don't cater to their fans is what it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Mm-hmm. Most artists don't cater to their specific set of fans. You're not giving your fans what they want. You might be giving the general population what they want, and that's why it's just poppy and trendy. But what are you giving your fan base? And, you know, and it takes time to grow a fan base. You're not going to have millions of fans, millions of diehard fans your first 2 years in the industry. It's just not, it's not going to happen. You have to cultivate that.
Yeah.
You have to cultivate that. Now you have social media presence. You have more ways to cultivate a fan base, a strong fan base, than they did back in the day. Use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. You know another artist who I feel like didn't really, like, I thought had a strong fan base, but really didn't? Doja Cat. I feel like her fan base turned on her quick.
Yeah, they did. I actually thought...
I turned on her.
I thought she was going to be...
But this is a long time ago, y'all.
I thought she was going to be bigger than she was.
Same.
I did. Because it's like, she has the talent. She has the stage presence. She has the talent. She has the artistry. She has it all. She has it all.
Yeah.
She even has the look.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you did what you did on the side apart from your music, and that's what got you in trouble.
It'd be the PR for real. The PR be killing.
Like, where's your PR critical. Team?
PR is critical. Professionalism is critical. I feel like people don't understand that. Like, you cannot go anywhere without a good team. You cannot go anywhere without tactics. You have to have tactics. You have to have a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You cannot walk into this music industry all willy-nilly because you had a hit on TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to... I keep bashing TikTok, but, like, y'all know it's real.
No, TikTok definitely exposes great artists, but, like, if you can't maintain that, then you weren't a great artist to begin with, if that makes sense. Like, you didn't have the artistry. You had the song, or you had the... And even the art don't be that... TikTok likes what's catchy.
Yeah.
Like, what's catchy, not, like, what's
really...
They
like the flow. They like the cadence. They like the beat.
A lot of artists make catchy music because that's what pops on TikTok, and that's what gets you, like, accolades or whatever, whatever. It's not sustainable.
Yeah, you can tell when an artist, like, when an artist first come out and a song that you fell in love with when they first came out, they're like, okay, I like this. I can't wait to hear more like this. But then their label or whoever is in their ear is like, okay, you got that out the way. Let's cater to TikTok. We're going to get your fan base up. That I think that's a conversation that's had. Like,
same.
I feel like there's a voice in their ear. Somebody is telling them, nobody wants to hear this. We want this from on TikTok. We want a trend. We want a dance. We want a challenge.
I've actually seen an artist, like, talk about on his TikTok about how his management was telling him to get on TikTok and promote his song and to have it try to get it trending.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's definitely a conversation that's being had. And so, but I feel like having it, promoting on TikTok isn't bad.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I don't think TikTok is a good place to get a fan base. Like I said earlier, it's not it's not good for longevity. But in terms of just going on TikTok and getting your song trending, I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. It's when people start making songs for TikTok, like you said earlier, Jada. That's what be the problem.
Yeah, it's not a good place for longevity, but it's a great place for exposure.
Yes.
If you want exposure, go to TikTok. But if you want longevity and if you want an actual fan base, TikTok is not the place to find it.
Yeah.
But to get exposure, 1,000%. If you want people to just know your name, TikTok. Mm-hmm. But if you want people to actually care about you, no.
Yeah.
You gotta have a brand. You gotta do the work for that.
You gotta put in the hard work. Your label has to be willing to put the money and the effort behind
to invest in you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not investing in you because you're not a real artist. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Exactly.
But even real artists don't get invested in. So it's not
it's
not a slick shot to anybody that's not getting invested in. But it's just like, they're definitely not. If they turning away people with talent and real artists, mm-hmm. and they're not investing in them, why would they invest in you? They just want a quick buck.
No, right.
It's hard around here.
It is.
It's extremely hard, and that's why y'all need to be professional. Y'all need to have a game plan,
mm-hmm.
because it's extremely hard.
And I also want to touch base on, like, you know, professionalism once again. When fans or interviewers point out something to you, that whole nonchalant I don't care attitude, it's so disgusting to me, because it's like, you should care.
You should.
This is what people are saying. Now, it's one thing if it's just hate. If it's just hate, I understand you don't care. But if it's constructive criticism, like, you need to do this, or your fans don't like this, so try this. Why are you acting like you don't care? The attitude is so nasty. I hate it.
It's the arrogance again.
Yeah,
I know better.
It goes back to arrogance
it's
and
ugly.
Entitlement.
It's very ugly, and then it makes you like not likable. It makes you not personable. How do you expect to have a fan base if you're not personable?
Yeah. Mm. And being likable matters.
It
like
does.
Now, like your personality matters. I feel like that's another thing about like older artists. Their personalities could be terrible, but people didn't know for real because we wasn't in their lives like that. Now your personality matters. If you going on Twitter talking about how much you hate your fans, that's
like,
not
like, oh, that's okay, not. Well, you hate me. I ain't listening to you putting no money in your pocket. Bye.
Exactly. Like,
yeah,
you're hurting yourself.
Back in the day, like it didn't matter as much. Or even back in the day, some people's like quote unquote bad attitude was their brand.
Yeah.
Like being a diva was their brand.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because, like Jasmine said, like the concept of being a celebrity is different now.
Yeah.
It is.
To be a celebrity now, you have to be relatable. You have to be fun. People have to like you. But back in the day, like you could be a diva.
Mm-hmm.
And people be like, oh my gosh, she's so glamorous. I want to be like her.
Mm-hmm.
She's so untouchable. Like I can't do what she do. And that's what made them mysterious. That's what made them interesting.
But there's no mystery.
But there's no mystery now.
I miss the mystery, honestly. Like, I don't like knowing people's whole life.
I don't even know your business.
No, right.
I don't care about the fact that you haven't seen your child in Like, why do I know this about you? We should actually know less about each other.
Yeah.
We should know so much less about each other. And when I do find out about you, I want it to be grand.
Yeah.
People ain't know what was going on with Tina until she made that movie.
Right.
Ain't nobody know she was getting abused until Angela Bassett told y'all.
Yeah. You're right though, because I did not know that.
You wouldn't know that. Like,
yeah.
Or if it was something like crazy going on that the people just had to know about, it was an event. It wasn't a shade room post.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys know, but around like 2003, 2002, Mariah Carey had like a psychotic break. Like, she went to rehab and everything. Like, because everything that was going on with her ex-husband, they were just trying to sabotage her career. They put out J-Lo to like sabotage her. We're going to talk about that another episode.
That's
y'all.
Crazy.
That's interesting.
J-Lo in place of Mariah. Yeah.
That's actually crazy.
Exactly. But all of that was going on. She was getting so much hate, and she literally like, she wasn't showing up to appearances. She was, she wasn't getting no sleep. She was running off like energy drinks or whatever, and she just had a psychotic break, and she just couldn't do it no more. But it was a humongous thing. It was everywhere.
It's like breaking news.
It was like breaking news. Mariah Carey crumbles. Like, you know, it was like a whole thing. Now it's just like, oh, child, she.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like if we were to hear something like that now, there would be so many signs and we wouldn't be surprised. But back then, I feel like there were no signs. You would have no idea. So when it comes out, it's like, oh my gosh.
Because I didn't know everything about you.
Exactly.
And it sucks because it's not even on the artist, because fans will literally dig. Like, why are you digging to find where they live? Why are you digging to find out this? Oh, they stopped wearing a wedding ring. Like, why? Get
Tell
out.
When they stopped wearing a wedding ring. Like, what are
like,
you doing?
No,
what
right.
What are you doing?
Whole time like, they just took it off because it was hurting their hand. Like, you just like, doing too much.
When people already knew that Victoria Monet and her baby daddy weren't together anymore. When I tell you, I was not thinking of that. Like, I was like, you know, I really don't see them posting together that much anymore, but he was just with her. So, I mean, and again, it's none of my business. I don't really care. I care about the music. Here, they posted their whole breakup announcement or breakup statement. Here the comments go, we knew.
We knew. Who is we?
No, we ain't know that.
Another thing that touches back on unprofessionalism a little bit, in my opinion, is basically like you coming out on social media with everything instead of putting it in your music. I think that's unprofessional. If you ask me, if your job is to be an artist, put your story in your art.
Can I touch base on that?
Yeah, talk about it.
So on Summer Walker's, I think it was Still Over It, she had the song Bitter with the narration by Cardi B, and it's like a voicemail, and she's like, you know, put that in your music, nobody can take that from you, this, that, and the third. And it's crazy to me that Cardi B said that and didn't take her own advice, because Cardi has so much going on with Offset, the cheating, the, you know, the constant cheating all the time, and you on Twitter with your Twitter fingers and you on live crying. Like, why didn't you put that in your music? And you're somebody that people want music from.
Thank
we
you.
Haven't
We're
had anything
waiting. You're
we,
another one
we
We're
have
still waiting.
Exactly.
We're starving, honestly.
We haven't had anything since Invasion of Privacy. We haven't had anything but features, and I don't even think we have any features anymore.
Crickets.
Literally.
But not crickets on your business.
Like, exactly. No, right. You're so loud about it, and Offset is also so loud about it, but at least Offset is putting out music. It may not be doing well, but he's putting out music. doing what he's supposed to do. That's his job.
Your business shouldn't be louder than your music.
Your business should never be louder than your music. Exactly. And if your business is louder than your music, you need to address your business in your music.
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all are missing recipes. Even my girl Sabrina. Sabrina didn't come out and talk about that whole Olivia Rodrigo drama. She put it in her album.
Exactly. And she also didn't talk about her breakup with Barry either. She never talked about that. She came out with a remix with Dolly Parton for Please, Please, Please.
Thank you.
So what are we doing? I don't like that.
I don't like that either. Like, y'all just are missing recipes. Like, Beyonce didn't address nothing about that elevator. But, you know, she said, of course it's going to be some drama when it's $1 billion on the elevator. That was in a song. She didn't come out in no interview and say that. She didn't put that on her TikTok. She didn't put that on her Twitter.
Didn't come out when the cheating allegations didn't say nothing. You better call Becky with the good hair.
Like, it's in the music.
And you know who else did that? Obviously, he wasn't around there on social media. Michael Jackson. Remember Tabloid Junkie when he was like, just because you read it in a magazine, like, just because you read it in a magazine don't make it true. Like, he was addressing stuff in his music. Like,
and Leave Me Alone and Dirty Diana. Like,
Dirty Diana.
Hello.
Hello.
Bring it back, honestly. I should know that. I should not know that much about y'all.
I really should hear your song and be trying to figure out from your song.
Exactly.
I shouldn't be trying to figure out from your Instagram what's going on with you. I should be trying to figure out from that song that's going viral.
Exactly.
What's going on? So not only, what she talking about?
Not only are artists losing recipes, maybe you're losing money. You're telling your business for clout.
For free.
For free. And that should never be the case.
Honestly, stop going live. Like, y'all need to delete. Just delete it. Delete the live feature off your Instagram.
Delete the live feature. Like, you need to be shadow banned.
Actually, just give your PR team your information.
No, right.
Log out.
Like, because I'm pretty sure Beyonce not even in control of her own Instagram.
I love a celebrity that don't run their own Instagram. Because why are you posting on your own Instagram? Why are you? Stop. Just stop.
Like, I understand, you know, going live once in a while to interact with your fans. But to tell your business is crazy.
To tell your business is insane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody who I feel like is kind of like gold when it comes to using social media and being authentically themselves, but not telling them their business, is Coco Jones.
I love Coco.
She's so interactive. Like, she'll make a funny TikTok and be like, oh, let me go drop this off to my man, da 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 da. And then she'll have her song playing in the background, but you don't even know if she's joking or she's dead serious. Like, still don't know if she's dead serious. Like, is that really like a man you talking to stuff, or are these props? Like, what? You'll never know.
Dochi, too.
You'll never know their real business.
Yeah, never.
And if you do, it's in that song.
Exactly. Right. Let's also talk about this, too. When you see that something is going viral on TikTok that you haven't put out yet, baby, just put it out.
Just put it out.
Like, Dochi literally put out that anxiety song as soon as she saw. She was like, oh, y'all like this, so let me go ahead and it's out now.
Or tease it a little bit, but not too long.
Exactly. Because then the hype is going to be gone.
Like, you have to be so strategic. Like, these tools.
Critical.
It's the same way I feel about us in our everyday life with social media. Everybody want a bad social media, and it's like, it's the way you use social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's a tool. It can be a tool. I hate social media. People are making money off social media.
Exactly. Making bank.
You don't have to hate social media. You have to be smart about how you use it. You just sitting there scrolling in everybody's business, and that's why it's so negative for you.
Mm-hmm. No, right.
But if you use it as a tool that it should be, or if you use it for fun and alleviation from your problems like it could be, then you won't hate it as much. If you're using it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. This is why I say, like, the podcast can connect music to your real life, because the things that these artists are doing wrong, you're doing wrong. I'm doing wrong. I don't know. I'm in the booth talking instead of on the phone with my mama running my mouth. So.
Not in the booth talking. No, that's real, though, about the Instagram thing, because Instagram really is a tool. Mm-hmm. And, like, these artists could really be using it as
a tool.
To
their advantage.
And, like, real people could be using it as a tool. You can't say you hate social media because it's so negative. Baby, that's your algorithm.
That's your algorithm.
You chose that, actually. You ate that.
You actually ate that up. Like, that might be a reflection of yourself.
It is, though. Because when I scroll on TikTok, I'm laughing. I'm seeing dogs. I'm seeing cooking videos. Like, I've never had that problem of all this negativity that y'all claiming to see. Like, you're liking that, I fear. So as we wrap up the conversation on unprofessionalism in the music industry, let's go to our ending segment, Listen Up, where we tell you our current faves on our playlist. So I'm gonna start off, because I was talking about the Temptations earlier. Love Motown, love the Temptations. So my choice is You're My Everything by the Temptations, because that song eats, and it's cute. It's a cute little love song. You're my everything. Like, we don't have enough of that no more. Like, you're literally my everything. So
I like that. Good pick.
That's real. So I wanted to do something from Dangerously in Love. So I think I'm going to choose... Yes.
Oh, that's the song.
It took me a minute because I was like, you just saying yes, but I forgot she actually has a song called Yes. I do like that song.
Yeah.
I love that song, period. That's a good pick. Since I touched base on some Michael Jackson and his Off the Wall album, I will be choosing Off the Wall, the song, because, you know, life ain't so bad at all. It's not that bad. I got to live it off the wall.
I'm not going to lie, y'all. I ain't never heard this song.
That's why it's going on the playlist. That's exactly why it's going on the playlist.
I love that song, actually.
I love that song, too. Well, that's a wrap on episode 2 of the Remix and Rewind podcast. We'll catch up with y'all next time.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.
Remix and Rewind is produced in the studio of WANM-FM 90.5 School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.